Introducing the new Buttermilk Crispy Chicken Biscuit at McDonald's.
We don't need that music.
Made with tender chicken.
Let's lose the echo.
On a warm buttermilk biscuit.
Perfect.
The juicy simplicity of our Buttermilk Crispy Chicken Biscuit speaks for itself. Get it now for just $3 and get a $2 sausage McMuffin with egg or a $1 small hot coffee, all from the $1-$3 menu. Simply your breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
You're listening to Open for Discussion, where, man, y'all probably shouldn't have said that. It tends to happen. Let's start the show.
7:15 East Music Group.
Welcome to Open for Discussion, where any and everything is on the table to be discussed. I'm your host, Albert. And as always, I got my brothers from another mother. I got my boy, Diddy Rowe, a.k.a. we're going to say Brian.
Assalamu alaikum.
All right. We got my boy, Cleek the Geek.
What it do?
And as always, G-Dub is in the building.
Yo.
Fellas, I know, Dub, you just recently, you had your home purchase, you done moved in. How's everything going with that, man? You got your furniture, you got everything set away, or are we still in the moving in process?
Yeah, I think a couple people told me this, like, when you get the house, you want to do everything right away, have everything just look like it does in a model home. But in reality, you're going to have times where it's like, we still got boxes, bro. and we've had several people, you know, just giving us wisdom. Like, take your time. Don't feel like you got a rut. Like, who are you getting it? It's like super ready for it. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not a reason for laziness. Like, we have certain boxes. Like, one day, I was like, babe, we just got to clear out. These boxes are just sitting here. Like, we know where this stuff goes. But it's another one you don't have. One of our friends gave us insight. Like, when you're unpacking your stuff, most people just think, get it all out of the boxes and just have it outside the box. But then your stuff is just still, it's just sitting there.
Straight up.
They're like, you know, find organization. So get, like, bookcases and all the things you need to put stuff in and then start unpacking your stuff. So we're in that process to start getting more storage pieces, like things that look good. And we can put stuff in, like with kids' toys. It's just
so a lot of trips to IKEA is what you say.
Oh my god, IKEA in the Container Store.
Man.
That place is. I was like, crap! I've never been so excited to be in a home store. It's ridiculous. And,
it's a lot. A lot happening. Man, it's big.
Tell us what's on your heart.
Man, I love.
I don't condone that statement.
Nah, but it was for me. It's just really.
I love
exciting,
this decor.
To be able to really have something that's your own and continuously invest in that thing.
Absolutely,
and know that it's like this is actually bringing about a return. I'm not just spending something just to spend it. We found out yesterday they're building another community right down the street from our house.
Yeah, so man.
Property value just continue to go up.
Going up.
Building houses all the way around here. Just keep building. But so yeah, that's how it's going.
That's good, man. Now, I was thinking about when you know the whole moving process, and I'm pretty sure all of us have been through this before, and the dreaded, what the heck are we doing with all of this memorabilia and stuff? That's just listen, man. I have a huge problem. Like me, and I think I've talked to Brian about this before, man. My thing is, once we've decided that we're getting ready to move, when we start packing up stuff, if my wife ain't looking,
chuck that thing.
I'm dumping stuff
right
left
in the trash.
Right. But like, man, like seriously, man, like, do any of you guys have a technique or a thought process when it comes to like, dog, we have like we. I don't even know why I just got quiet.
like she listened.
She go and listen to
like,
me.
Like my wife listening to me outside the door. But man, we'll have
nothing.
Kids' kindergarten report cards that just got none but S's. I'm like, this is just a piece of paper that people just put some S's on there.
Oh.
And I'll be like, man, I'm not keeping all of this stuff, man. I'm going to throw this away. No. You look around the studio here, man. Just stuff. Like we just. We're dog. I look around, man, and like I mess up my wife before, and I'm like, babe, you a mini hoarder. Yeah. I was like, you're not, you know me, you're not a junk hoarder, but you got a memory hoarder,
yeah.
And he like you just hold on to stuff. So like, man, any of y'all ever, you know, like how do you handle that situation, especially with Dub? how did you handle getting, you know, dealing with, you know, what's memorabilia, what should stay, what should go, man? Because it is annoying.
Yeah, well, my wife had a little bit of a different outlook on memorabilia for us going into our new house. She didn't want to take anything old into our new house.
Man, she's
so
awesome.
She wanted to toss everything. But I knew that we can't toss everything because then we'll have no memories. And I was privileged that my parents kept a lot from when we were growing up, and I knew how important that was to me. So we're strategic about it.
He's the hoarder, basically.
That's what I heard, man.
Out of the relationship.
Honestly, I have very much to my name when I came to Orlando in the first place. So, yeah. I mean, I don't really have, all my stuff is still living with my mom's house. That's where the hoarding is. but up here, it's like, all right, I just want to make sure we have certain projects for the kids that are like really, really special, like that the first Mother's Day thing or whatever, or if we have, like, I'm not keeping a report card with S's on it, man. That's just not happening. Like, it's just, what's the point? I'm going to look back like, oh, look at these S's. Oh, this is your first report card. Maybe the first one, but that's it. Like, yeah. Like you can really condense some of that stuff down. So I had a great when we left, I had a person come to shred a lot of our stuff at the house. So I just went through boxes and started literally going through all the individual papers.
Sounds real uppity.
First of all, identity theft is real, bro.
You can just go buy a shredder for like $30.
Yeah, the amount of paper we needed to shred, bro. That thing was about the same price too.
Over the counter shredders, the same price.
They not good. So,
I wanted to make sure this stuff was destroyed because we literally had
1%.
Wow. Okay. I can't hire nobody to give me shredding. All right. Check your credit reports, gentlemen, before I did it. You're not shredding your stuff. So we went through, we had at least 4 or 5 boxes of just papers accumulated from schoolwork to like job stuff and old job manuals and like, bro, we ain't gonna ever use this. So we keep the really important stuff and everything else, man. We had Cleet was at the house. Yo, y'all helped me take this stuff outside when Salvation Army came. Like, get this stuff out of here.
Yeah.
Sorry, let somebody else use the stuff that we not using and the stuff that we need to get rid of. We getting rid of it.
Me, man, I think. I mean, if I had to be honest with myself, I think me and my wife are hoarders. I've been looking at, I have old electronics from like 10 years ago.
It's just
Why do I have this?
It's broken.
I remember when
I came to help you move some stuff around or take care of some
from
stuff
my garage.
Your house.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You want a TV, bro?"
Bro, why do I still have that TV, bro?
No, this TV been broke for like 6 years. It's just been sitting in the garage.
For parts, bro. You can utilize
parts. Bro, I still have that TV. Bro, I don't know what's wrong with me. So the thing with me, man, this is a really good conversation because I'm like, I need help. Okay, so I don't have no solution. I need solutions. I mean, the only thing I would say is I get in modes where I literally will walk by something and I just get angry and I just toss everything around it and I toss it away. So, I mean, like,
what do we all do to you?
A member of my household keeps a lot of paperwork, man. They just keep papers for years.
Did you say a member of your household?
There's only
the kids are 1 and 2.
Your kids are barely talking.
Yeah, this person just keeps a lot of paperwork, just papers for years, just papers, just notes, little scribbles, like, just scribbles on it. You just scribbled on this.
You just checked to see if the pen was working. So, why are we keeping it?
So I see it, man. I look at it. I'm just like, man, I just tossed the whole one, get the folder, get everything, and just throw it away. I'm like, oh, you, it might have been something important. Well, you didn't look at it in about 5 years.
And that's the other thing, right? If you're not going to go back and look at this stuff, or like within a year, you're not going to be like, oh, let me just go see what my notes are. What's the point?
Yeah. So I've been getting a little better in that regard, but. Yeah, I still got swear to. I got my whole garage could get thrown away. I'm just young. My entire garage. I need nothing in there. But I keep convincing myself.
In there.
I keep convincing myself I need it. And for this point, we haven't been able to park our cars in our garages and all of the homes we moved in because we hoard. We just put I keep the boxes after we buy stuff and just put it in the for no reason. Oh, I got this when I move.
You got manuals for stuff that you don't even use no more.
No more.
Listen, true story. I get a new iron. I take the manual.
Why
I
do put you it, have the manual to an iron?
And I just keep it in the drawer.
Just in case, just in case you need to troubleshoot.
But I could go online. But
you
I
got
keep
another
it.
Iron. Bro. You got a Sunbeam iron, though. It's just on
it's
and
like
off switch.
$15 iron. And I was like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" You know, so I'm starting
you
to catch
myself,
bro.
Got warranty papers everywhere.
Bro, so yeah, I'm an offender of this.
Absolutely, man. B, what you got, man?
Oh, Lord.
Again, my mother was a educator, so we actually, all my siblings and I, we had individual folders, these huge folders that she kept all of our report cards and, you know, any academic-related items, they were all going in there. So, you know, throughout growing up, all of our report cards, everything were stored there. And once we got our own homes, she was like, y'all come get y'all junk. And so it was good to actually have that stuff and go back reflect on it. So, you know, I was just scrolling through some of it. And, you know, whereas I thought I was always this model kid, I was like, yo, I had behavioral issues. I'm reading the comments. Teacher was like, yeah, he's bright, but he won't stay in his seat. He's talkative. He talks to other kids. He won't stay in his seat. I was like, hey, bro, I done painted myself a different picture than what was reality.
Yeah,
so it was good to be able to go back and read that. And you know, it keeps you in check, but it also sheds light when I see certain behaviors in my kids. I was like, dang, they get that from me.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, from that segment is good. But for me, the biggest issue that I face when moving is fatigue. When I get tired, I'm throwing everything away.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything is getting thrown away.
Everything.
So I got to be careful.
I'm going to tell you straight up, if I help you move, and I'm getting tired.
He ain't lying.
And you're not looking.
I will throw your stuff
time out.
The side of the
not
truck.
Only will he throw it away, I done seen this dude break somebody's furniture on purpose. Literally.
Listen. I feel like it's my job. If I'm helping you move, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, this is complete trash.
He threw it down the stairs, bro.
Bro, I'm about to go.
Like,
throw
I'm dumping it straight
today,
over
bro.
The edge, man. I'm yeah. like, nah, I'm not gonna let you put this in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's real easy to get caught up in that mode when you're moving because, you know, you're thinking, it's just like, man, I'm tired of all this stuff. And this, listeners, is why you don't ask your friends to help you move, okay?
You hire
movers because your friends will break your stuff and you won't know, like Al does. Your friends will get tired and they'll just sit around, and then a move that was supposed to take you 3 hours takes you 12.
And they still want that pizza.
And they still want the pizza.
Goodness gracious, man.
Hey, I came.
But yeah, the ultimate goal with making sure that you don't allow ourselves to get in that mode, or we don't allow ourselves to get in that packing stuff, is just not putting attachments to stuff that really doesn't matter. We got to make sure to, like, really keep on, like Brian said, I love that idea. I think I'm going to do the same thing for Nolan, just have one box. My mom did the same thing. I don't know why I didn't do it, because my mom did the exact same thing. But, you know, you always feel like, oh, man, I'm going to need this in 3.5 years. No, you're not.
You really need one box.
That's it. That's
and
it.
That's what my wife and I, we said we want to do. We want to condense the garage to one box. So one or two boxes. So
you need some help.
Yeah. Al?
After what he just told you, you
sure? I will definitely help him, buddy.
No, but the reality is what he's saying is most
pick
of the stuff in the garage
is trash.
You don't even need. Like, that's the...
No, you...
Bro, you have the time
Florida,
of your life.
You're sitting in a hot box. You're just letting all of your items in there sweat.
Yeah.
So there's no electronics that's actually working in that garage anymore.
Listen, let me tell you something. These electronics are 10, 15 years out of date. They have no purpose in this world.
It's an insect
world.
Hotel. That's all they are. It's insect insulation. Yeah. We just hanging out in there, man. Yep. Spiders going crazy in there.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, man. I get so frustrated when I just see just papers. Just
yeah.
Like I was saying, man, we literally have warranty papers and instruction manuals and all of these service records for stuff that we had when we were 26, 27 years old. That's almost 13 years ago.
There's
and I'm like,
no relevance in your life.
Why do we have this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, like when we'll, especially when we try to go clean out the garage and we're looking at, I'm going through boxes and a person that's in my house.
Bet you won't say her name.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have books from high school. Not like a yearbook.
Not just your yearbook.
Yeah, not a yearbook. I'm talking about like
math book.
Like geometry. Why do we have this?
I just did that. When we just moved, I found a psychology book from college. I was like, babe, we're throwing this away. Like, straight shredded that thing. Like, because it's like...
It's ridiculous,
we're not going to ever open it up.
You shredded a hardcover psychology book?
Yes, we did.
Man. I would have donated that to the library, man.
Okay, well, this thing was like 20 years dated. Okay, like we're literally 20, 25 years
away like from... like our HBCU book over there from 1999.
HBCU today.
Yeah. That's what it says. That was created in 1999.
Goodness gracious, man. I mean,
well, yeah, they probably, a lot of the principles in there probably still apply to
school. Some of the founders of psychology, we still, you know, study their works.
This is true. Well, I donated a lot more other stuff.
Now, what you guys do with your, well, you know, I can't say that everyone has them, but, like, you know, your trophies from your youth?
Anybody? Yeah, all of them at my mom's house. Like, all of my trophies are at my mom's house. She told me the other day, she's like, you got to come get your stuff.
Cleet doesn't have any trophies.
I have awards. Thank you.
Nerd!
Thank you. Go to Epcot right now. You got my design award from second grade. Still there.
Still there.
Right now, it's up there. Why you never say
that's big. That's international right there.
Yeah,
Because it's at the museum portion over there. It's like this little exhibit. It's an art thing.
Are you sure it's still there? Yeah. They didn't take it down?
Listen, man. Listen, don't fact check me. All right?
We got annual passes to Disney. You've never seen this guy.
Y'all have plans to stick your trophies up in the house or do something like that.
Making new memories, man.
Mine at my parents' house in my dad's shed, and he might have threw them all away. He was like, "I'm giving y'all to the end of the week to come get them."
Yeah, I believe it. And man, my brother broke all of my trophies, man. He was a little kid when he did it. When I left, he was 8. Well, actually, he was 7 when I left, and you know, I played football, ran track, and you know, so I had a bunch of trophies and stuff sitting around. And At one point in my life, I was like, man, I'm when I get my house, I'm going to go back home, get my trophies, and, you know, I'm going to sit them up, you know, put them in a room and put them in a trophy case. But, yeah, I went home. All of those things were destroyed. I was mad for a minute. And then when I got back, I was like, I'm not going to do anything with them. Because, like, right now, my wife has probably over 20, 30 trophies because she was an athlete in high school and college. And they're...
In the box.
In the garage. Yes. In the box. Some of them are broken.
You better not touch them.
You got basketball players missing hands.
and like, what do we really expect to do with these things?
You know, yeah. Man, like, I understand. I would say keep some of them just to inspire, you know, the kids that you're bringing up to say, look, you know, I did this. You know, sometimes you know, your kids will look at you and they'll be like, you know, you'll be like, yeah, I was a great athlete, you know, in back in my days, and I was this and that. And the kids, you know, as we were kids, we look at our parents and be like, yeah, okay,
sure,
you can't beat me in anything.
Let's really look at this, right? The trophy, by the time we show it to our kids, is going to be what, 20, 25 years old?
It's molded.
Right? This thing is breaking down.
The gold is gone.
The gold is gone. The plate that fell off. Like, Dad, you just made that up. Like, the trophy isn't the thing that... I think we have to tell those stories to our kids, but we can't use these... Well, I mean, 30-year-old trophies.
And this segue to like these kids, to our kids. I mean, they haven't made because they have an opportunity to make their memories digital, you know? So
that is a big thing right there, man. Like, you know, when I was playing ball, we had, you know, you had the video recorders with the big old video recorder.
And the VHS,
VHS tape.
You had to make your own highlight.
We had a TV production class.
Yep.
That was the way I go in there and be like, How we do this? Cut this up. You got a press record right here, and then stop it on this one. So, man, but now, you know, this kids
phone.
Can be their own, you know, producers. You know, they can put their music to it and stuff, and it's just, it's amazing, man, where technology has came with that, because, I mean, keeping memories that way is so much easier.
So much easier. You're talking about pictures. You're talking about videos. It's like storage.
Report cards.
Yeah. Everything could be digitized. And then it could be a small little jump drive. Here's my history of my life right there. You know,
and that's an idea that
not
somebody
46
had.
Boxes in the garage.
Jesus, Lord. A friend of mine had, you know, like, give your child an email address. And then email all the pertinent things to them. So, and then give them the password when they turn 18. So you can put, you know, all their documents and all the stuff in there. So it's literally like you got their life in an email.
And let's even take it a further step. I mean, Google, you have a Google Drive.
No, so that's what I mean. Yeah, put all all the stuff in Google Drive. You're good, man. I mean, you don't have to even.
Especially photos. Just a note to everybody. Google doesn't. They let you basically have unlimited photos on their drives. So you literally can have photos for. It's for years.
Well, I mean,
you know, I was about to say for days, but it's for years, actually.
Only thing that happens is if Google crashes.
But if
Google crashes, the world's basically coming to an end.
Just put it on a jump drive, man. Just put it on a jump drive.
No, but I mean, I think that's a great idea. I mean, having all your stuff there, one place you can sit down and go through it. Because if y'all childhood's like my childhood, you had different photo albums, right? Just all around. And photo albums are great.
Ours were. What is that color? It's called when you know back. Back when we were all younger, I'm pretty sure all of us have a kid picture
with
where
it's like
brownish.
Always.
What camera? Always. Was
that? It's a brown camera.
What? Yeah. That's not even my skin tone.
But another advantage to digital is like it doesn't get damaged in circumstances. Like, you know, I know Brian works in insurance, and it happens, man. Houses catch on fire, floods, and then all of a sudden, all your memories.
Just exposure to the environment. Like those pictures, they were probably in color, but they turned brown over time.
I don't work in insurance. I work in financial services. Just get that disclaimer. Don't be trying to put misinformation out there for the world to see, man. Disclosing too much personal information. You just alluded to identity theft. And so, you know, you adding all of these details to a person's life to be open to the public makes us more vulnerable. So I just wanted to make a modifier to that statement. I work at Walt Disney.
Wait, what is that dumb patient?
I apologize for misrepresenting your I felt like I was in your occupation.
Thank you.
Cool, man. Now, with we were discussing, you know, the memories and the children, and this is a great tie-in to what I'm about to explain, man. Just shoot out and kind of let you guys discuss it a little bit. Is with all of the information that we have now, you know, you were talking about, you know, with the Google and digital and all that stuff. You know, we have news and information, I mean, really, at our fingertips. And sometimes we can just speak it into it, you know, and just say, hey, you know, Alexa or Siri, whoever. And, you know, the stories will pop up. Now, with all of the information that we have and all of the information on this particular subject, dealing with CTE, brain disorders, concussions, and all that stuff, two of you have young sons. We're still, you know, it's still out on the verdict to find out if we, you know, if I'm going to have a young son and, when I have a young son and, Brian, I'm not sure.
No, we're done.
This guy's a habitual liar. But, with all the information out there, man, it's a serious, thought thing because it tears me up, but would you allow your son to play football now, or are you going to allow your son to play football now?
I go back and forth with this one. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, we've had this discussion a lot. I think I'm resolved on allowing him to play football. Kind of goes back. Cleet and I were having a conversation the other day about not putting our kids in a box and making a lot of decisions for them, but giving them the opportunity to make decisions for themselves. Yes, football is a dangerous sport. But most people actually don't know this. More injuries happen in youth baseball than happen in youth football.
Youth soccer as also.
Yeah. So it's and don't get me wrong. I know if they make it to the pro, it's going to have their challenge. But I want that to be his choice, right? I want him to have, if he wants to play football, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, you're not going to play. I'm going to do my best to make sure you have the information on why I don't want you to play and then give you an opportunity to say if I want to play or not. Because ultimately, risks are there, and I don't want to take unnecessary risks, but I feel like allowing him to go and play. We all played football growing up, right? We all played tackle football growing up. I have friends that made it to college level. Have people that I know that made it to the pros, and they end up just fine. But it's ultimately any one of the people who went and played football will go in telling you, I knew the risks and I understood them. And but I still love the game and I wanted to play. And that's a decision that we can live with. I think on the outside, we want to make more decisions for these athletes than themselves, and especially the ones who are not informed. I think we owe them an obligation to, like, to our children, to make sure that we inform them consistently of about, like, what is happening, and then continue to allow them to make their own decisions in, you know, in a manner of speaking. I'm not saying that you make, you know, Dad, I want my independence. All right, well, get out of my house.
Yeah. Got some rent money?
Exactly. So, but I want to, but with things like this, with sports, especially, I can't be a hypocrite. I love watching football. It is my favorite sport to watch.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a Saturday and or a Sunday during football season when I am not watching football. So how could I say, don't do this, son, as I'm sitting here with my viewership supporting the sport? So, and that's not going to change anytime soon because I don't have an internal conflict with the sport of football. I feel like it's the same as, I mean, I know people who have issues with football, but they love MMA. Right, it's like,
yeah, and boxing.
It's like, okay, well, are the risks not still there? And I think that it exists in both arenas. All sporting has ridiculous risk of injury, except when you get to Major League Baseball, when you just sit out there and catch. But everything
sounds like a shot, buddy.
Jeez. That was a slight
shot. That's why they can play 162 games. Yeah. Because it's not as much. It's not as physically demanding as other sports. Right. So the goal for me, to just go back and answer the question, I will allow Nolan to play football if he wants to. I'm not going to force it on him. It is, like I said, it is my favorite sport, but I'm not going to force it on him. I will expose him to it to see if he wants to continue, probably start with flag. And then if he wants to, you know, continue to progress, he sees Daddy watching football every Sunday. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I want to play that, okay, cool. Well, let's play that.
Yeah, I think for me, same sentiment. My biggest thing that I'm learning as a parent is, you know, you want, when you start to throw a lot of the restrictions, you know, the kid's going to naturally want to flock towards that thing, just out of curiosity. So I guess my primary take on it is you basically educate your kid on the things that they want to, they have a you know, a natural proclivity or a thing that they want to go after. So when it comes to sports, it's like, you know, when we first had my son, I was like, nah, he not playing football at all, you know, because that was, the CTE was just breaking out at that time, you know. Now my resolve is, you know, instead of so much restricting him, now I got a chance to experience his personality and see how independent he is, even at his young age. My job is to, as he presents things that he's interested in, I educate him on the risk and the good things and the bad things about it, and try to steer him in a direction as opposed to forcefully saying this is what it is and you can't do it. I've always rejected those things when coming up when my parents did that. So you know, I've always promised myself, like I'm pretty sure all of us here have, oh, I'm not going to do this like my parents did. Yeah. And I think, you know, naturally, you're going to end up doing it just like your parents do, unless you make a sound decision to say, you know what, I am going to actually look at this differently. So, for instance, my son, he talks back to me more than I could even open my mouth to talk to my parents. But I realized that, like, it was no discussion. There's no discussion. You know, I get slapped right in the mouth, like mid-sentence.
Yeah. mid-mouth opening.
Yeah. You hit me. I hit you again. You'll get on my face. You know? So, but what it did, it caused a fear. It caused me to not communicate with them and all those things. So, you know, while it is against my tradition, against what I'm used to.
Your makeup.
Yeah, my makeup. You know, I'm open to it just for the sake of allowing him to have the opportunity to express himself. So to stay on topic, yeah, I'm open to him playing football if he so desires to. And I'll let him know about the risk of it and, you know, let him make a decision, you know, that to decide to continue with it. Now, if he does get injured in the process in any kind of way, and as his parent and while he's in my household, if I feel like that the risk is greater than what he can understand, then I'll pull the plug just because of my responsibility as a parent. But other than that, you know, I'm gonna expose him to it. I'm gonna let him go after it. You know,
cool.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. My kid would definitely have the option if they so choose to. I won't restrict it from them, and I don't have to inform them of the risk. It's my responsibility to know the risk and to be the monitor of any possible side effects or any possible interments of any risk. So going out, I don't like the Pop Warner system and even the high school system of monitoring concussions. Mm-hmm. There is no protocol like there is in the NFL. You know, if anybody has played Pop Warner high school, you've suffered a concussion.
Yep.
Oh, and there was no protocol. And even to this day, even in the wake of CTE, there are still no high school protocols. There are still no Pop Warner protocols. Really, the safest place are in or collegiately and in the NFL. So, you know, knowing that, you know, as a parent, you've got to be hypervigilant to, you know, to be present and to be aware and to see what's going on with the kid, you know, be observant. And so if you do, you know, see any of that or believe there could be that, then at that point, you know, you've got to step in and make the concussion protocol and do whatever's necessary. But yeah, you know, it's certainly an option if they should choose to. I would support them, you know, in any avenue.
Yeah,
man, it's for me, it's just, I guess, because have you actually remembered a concussion? Like, know what it feels like to be concussed?
Heck yeah.
Vividly.
I got one on street football. You know, me and the guy was running in separate directions and blacked out for half a second. And for the rest of the day, I was just woozy. I was out.
Yeah, man, it's a scary thing.
So
man.
It don't even have to be.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
It's just playing outside. Yeah.
I got a concussion in the game I was in. The next play. So,
I played the whole game with a concussion.
You know, so, I mean, like Brian said, there's not as much monitoring. And one thing that, you know, we were talking about earlier is the responsibility we have as parents to be able to moderate these things, right? So, if we see our child getting a hit and we even have the slightest inclination, don't let your child go back in the game. Mm-hmm. Tell the coach, hey, look, he's going to sit out a couple plays because I just want to make sure that they're okay. My dad, if he was at that game, would have yanked me so fast. And like, no, you're going to sit right here. You know what I mean? Exactly. Because, you know, I think one of the things, you know, you growing up, you're so angry. It's like, oh, my dad's just so embarrassing. But as an adult, it's like, I'm so glad he was so involved. Like, he was literally, like, trying to look out regardless at every game. I think this was the only game that my dad ever didn't make it to of my little league career. And I think just something random happened at the last minute. So I caught the ball, came over the middle of the field, linebacker hit me, bam! Next thing you know, I'm opening up my eyes and I'm like, well, what just happened? Last thing I remember is seeing number 21 coming at me. And they took me out the game. That was a third down. They took me out the game. We punted, and then I went on defense.
I have no clue what you're doing out there. No, my boy... It was the thing that was so funny for me was that we were playing. I was at UCF and we were playing Nichols State. Not even a big school, man. This is one of the games that we supposed to go out there and, you know, ride out on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was coming down on a kickoff. No, it was a kick return, and I had just I had blocked for the kick returner, and the play was over. Buddy hit me in the back of the head, dog, after the whistle.
Oh, jeez.
So the rest of the game, I got my boy, his name is Eli. The whole game, I'm like, Eli, am I on defense? Am I supposed to be running? Yeah.
That's real.
This dummy, he's so mad at me. He's like, Bert, man, shut the blank up, man. Get away from me. No. And I'm like, no, for real, man. I don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Who am I?
So all
that's
I
probably what
is
we
that,
call a severe concussion.
No, it was severe, man. Yeah. And like when I looked at it, when I went back and looked at it on, they showed it to me on film. It was literally like after the whistle, I was standing there, and y'all know the number one
keep
rule.
Keep your head on the swivel around the pile, bro.
Oh, no, stand around the pile. Number one is don't stand around the pile.
Stand around the pile.
So I'm standing there. Buddy just came, and then like I had bent down to go pick up somebody, and he hit me right in like right on the left side, back of my head, man. And it just,
did you
can see
out?
My legs just lock out, and then I'm just, my arms are straight
not
out.
The lock is, though. Bro, you should not have been in the game.
at all for the rest of the game, bro.
That was it, man. They didn't see it though.
The like, lock so, is like, the
you
worst.
Know, because it was like, you know, the player was down and the guy hit me, and then everybody was else was right there, so I ran to the sideline. And for real, I was just...
So you got back up after you didn't like...
No, I never hit the ground. It just made my legs lock out, and then it's like everything just stopped, you know? So it's basically my brain shut down and restarted itself, and I went to the sideline, and that, like the rest of the game, like I knew Dang. How to play football just off of, I guess, just, you know, what they call muscle memory. Yeah. I knew how to play. Like they said, I had a great game. You know, I got so
you don't even remember the rest of the game.
I don't remember nothing that happened, like, and except for what I saw on tape. You know, once I saw it on tape, and I was like, man,
that's crazy.
Like, and then my boy, he told me, like, he said, he was like, man, you just kept bothering me the whole game, man, asking me, do you go in, and am I supposed to be here? And I was like, bro, I was being so serious, man. But man, it is a scary thing, man.
Yeah, don't stand around the pile, bro. Yeah, that was that your fault, bro.
Dog, I knew that.
Stand around the pile.
I'm like, man, I'm going to help my boy get up. But, yeah, man, from that day on.
You deserve that one, bro. You deserve it.
Wow.
Yeah, man, you don't ever stand around the pile, man. That's rule number uno. Because you get yourself hurt real bad. Because, you know, you got the big country boys. They don't really get to hit low, you little guys. So they going full steam.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, man, with that, speaking of, you know, the injuries that you can, you know, obtain in football and how dangerous it is, you know, alternatively, I've talked to you about this before, Cleet. What alternative sports would you allow your kid to do, especially if, you know, you have sons? Would you be opposed to your son dancing?
Why are you going
or doing
this
gymnastics?
Song?
Or doing ballet?
Why are you asking me this on record?
I said I've asked you before, and I mean it's I mean this is real talk.
It's a valid
y'all
question,
know
though.
We real in here, man, and it's real talk, man.
So I'm
and
about then, to contradict everything I
first,
said.
First
earlier.
Of all, man. First of all, I'm gonna be the honest one.
Provocative question.
I'm gonna be honest, man. We're black men.
Yeah.
Black men growing up, anything. I mean, you can look at any one of our families. Anything outside of being rough and tough, boy, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with that little sissy boy over there?
Yeah.
And it's like what do you mean? Why is that even a question? But I mean, that's really the way we were raised. You know, of course now, you know, we've had episodes where we said, yeah, look, man, we're adults now. We've matured in our mindset and we understand that people are people. And you know, I mean, I had a gay friend on in my high school relay team. This joker here, like, he didn't come out and tell everybody, but, you know, we all knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then he eventually came out later, but this dude's name was Danica. Danica would get out with the best. Now I'm talking about Danica pushed me from, you know what I mean, from being just a good track athlete to a great track athlete when I was in high school because the joker was just super athletic. He was super fast. He, I mean, long legs. And just, he'll get out, man. But that, back then, I didn't realize that, you know, I was like I said, we were brought up and be like, you know, you be hanging around them, man.
Yeah. Just,
but then it's like, you know, as we've matured, of course, you know, it's like you have a different view on how, you know, life really is. And, you know, and you realize that, you know, I mean, there's nothing any different than it's just their mindset is different from what my mindset is. But everyone's mindset is different from my mindset.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like I said, you know, would you allow your son to be a dancer? And I mean, and you're not gonna have a wrong answer, man. If that's your feelings, that's your feelings. It doesn't mean
you're equating dancing with homosexuality.
Yes, definitely
not. That and most African American men. I'm not gonna say
that's
all
where
men.
You go, though.
Most African American men. When you say your son is a dancer, and you in a group of guys, they're gonna be like. They may not say it to you, but soon
they
as you
sure
walk
gonna
away,
be thinking it. Sure thinking it.
They walk away, you be like, yeah, you know that boy's son isn't, you know, he on the other team, man. But like I said, at this point in my life, man, I find nothing wrong with any group, you know, as far as, you know, like I said, as long as you're a good person, you treat me right, you treat me with respect, I don't really care. You know what I mean? My life is, my job is to make sure that my household is taken care of. Trust God, love God, do all of those things of that nature. I can't continue to worry about what you got going on in your life because I can't give them both equal attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like I said, if you're a good person, so I'm not equating it to homosexuality. I'm equating it to the mindset that we were raised
on. It comes
on.
Around, yeah, it comes with that
socialization.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So like I said, I'm contradicting myself from earlier. I mean, okay, I want my son to be able to make his own decisions. And I don't want to outright denounce things. But once again, I made the comment earlier that it makes you want to naturally gravitate to the thing that you're being denied. So only thing I could say is...
I see you struggling with it, man.
Listen.
Should we come back to you?
Listen. Easy answer is, nah, they ain't dance. I don't get no dang on dance. What you mean you want to dance, boy? What the heck's wrong with you? Nah. I pick up a ball or something wrong with you, boy. No, you ain't dancing. Heck no. Nah. Not in my house. You going to fire you some else to live. Shoot. That's the honest truth. You ain't that. Listen, you can do anything. If we talk about sports, I'll be more open. Outside of that, I'm sorry. You go follow my rules or get out of my house. That's it.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
We'll come back to you, man. I see you're emotional.
This is why, honestly, it's hard because then you grow up and your kids look at you as hypocritical. It's like, well, dad. You know, I can do what I can over here. Like you said, you let Aiden talk back to express himself. He's like, but I can't express myself over here. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's no handbook to parenting. There's no thing that says that you have to do this and you can do this. But I think one thing we have to make sure to do as parents is to be led by a principle, right? Mm-hmm. And have that principle be consistent. So either it's going to be, like for me, Nolan says he wants to do dance. I'm going to have the same natural reaction. Like, are you crazy? You're not doing dance.
Yeah.
However, what I can't honestly say is like the double standard that mm-hmm. can come into place. Mm-hmm. I have to start be careful of because I have a boy and I have a girl. Mm-hmm. So London asked me to dance.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. All right, Dad. I asked you to dance. What's actually wrong with me dancing? Because you're going to see... heterosexual dancers,
right?
That are men,
yeah,
and that they started dancing at five, right? So, but that's just my perception, and I don't want them to feel.
It's not rooted in principle; it's a perception.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I want to be rooted in principle when I say yes or no to something. Now, if you have it exhibited, because here's the principle: I want my kid to play football, but if it becomes unsafe, like Brian said, I reserve the right to say, "All right, well, now this is no longer going to be an activity." So if I start putting you in dance and then there are certain things that start emerging from the fact that you're in dance.
That goes against our moral standard.
I'm going to pull you out. I'm 100% on board with London playing basketball. She's athletic naturally. But we all know in the history of women basketball players, the majority, I think they did a study from the WNBA, something like 30-40% are homosexual, right? So you can think, oh, putting them in that environment, they're just going to turn them out. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to stop her from playing basketball if she wants to play basketball. Now, again, you start, you know, exhibiting certain tendencies. I'm going to pull you out of basketball. And the same thing is going to be true in your social relationships. The same thing is going to be true in all the things that you participate in, because that's the principle, right? I'm going to allow you to choose. Have a good time. I may not like it because there's a lot of things. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things that kids do right now that we're trying to do as a family. I don't want to do because it's like it's boring to me. I hate listening to Baby Shark. Hate it. Right?
Oh, man.
But my daughter, it's ridiculous how she loves that song. So I can't just say, you know what, I'm going to dictate exactly what we do at all times because it's my kids. I want them to have fun while they're growing up and have their own choices. So be led by that principle. Go ahead. Now, the moment Baby Shark, you know, just gets to the point where you're worshiping the Lord, you're worshiping Baby Shark instead of worshiping the Lord, all right, we're going to have to pull back on the Baby Shark.
Right.
But other than that, man, like if we just can... find ourselves where our principles lie. We'll have no issues with our kids doing things that are societally unacceptable, mm-hmm. especially from us. So I was talking to Cleet about this yesterday. There was a professor that did he did an experiment in class. He had two circles on the board, right? A blue circle and a red circle. He went to the blue circle and he said, "Listen, I know that you guys are looking at these circles. These two circles are not the same size." I'm telling you that up front. Okay, they look the same size, not the same size. So, with that being said, how many of you guys think the red circle is bigger? People raise their hand. How many of you guys think the blue circle is bigger? People raise their hand. Everybody in the class voted. He was like, all right, so what you guys just did is took information based on a lie and made your decision based off of it, right? We call that tradition. All right? So now tradition, which was started on a lie, now is in your life. And tradition, what that becomes is culture, right? So now our culture black men and black masculinity says if anyone exhibits any type of feature that is less than 100% masculine, then that person is homosexual.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And so we are all raised in that culture. Therefore, we have certain perceptions on other industries, dance and anything that's not football or basketball. I mean, when I was growing up, if you did baseball, I was like, bro, what you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When the baseball checks are a lot higher than these football checks.
And hopefully, they last a lot longer. You know what I'm saying?
Nolan is doing swimming. Nolan is doing tennis. Nolan is doing baseball. Why? Because there's a lack of African-American representation in all of these, and we can dominate. Yeah. Right? So, I don't care about he's football or basketball. That's great. I want him to be good at those, but guess what?
These other ones
are great. So I think that we need to not allow ourselves to have that traditional thought process if it's based on a lie. If it's based on truth, then that's one thing. But if it's based on a lie, we got to look at why are we doing this tradition? We can't just believe that this is the right way because the people before us did it that way. Yep. Sorry, that was long.
Yeah,
no, that's good. No, I agree with a lot of that, especially, you know, the principle-driven element. Two factors that really play in for me is one is never levying my preferences on my children. Mm. And like I said, my favorite sport coming up was baseball. Grew to love football. Those are my main two sports that I played. And I won't force those on my kids. They may not like them. I'll expose them to them. But if clearly they're disinterested or they don't have a proclivity for it, I'm not forcing it on them just to relive or try to live out, my life and, right. You know, try to live my life through them. Yeah. No. And thank God, man, that was ingrained in me by my parents. My father was a standout athlete and, you know, he never pushed athletics on us. He let us gravitate to what, you know, we excelled in. And, secondarily, independent thought. And from that, one of the parallels that I really appreciate is actually the arts, or specifically music. Growing up, the guy who taught me how to play the drums, of course, I grew up playing in the church, but he stressed to me the importance of diversity. So I listened to jazz. I listened to country. I listened to rock and roll. Peers and people around me didn't listen to all of those, but I grew to appreciate them and I grew to like them. And so from that element, I was like, yo, I'm going to expose my kid to these different areas, these different arenas, because there's value in all of them.
Right.
And, you know, and I won't restrict them to just what I perceive they should do. But yeah, man, independent thought. And, that's another huge one for me.
Cool, man. Cool, man. Let's see if we can.
I appreciate you guys, man. You guys gonna help me out, you know, because I don't got it together like that.
Man, there's nothing wrong with that
tradition,
man.
And honestly, I mean, you know, something I was rooted in. And I have concerns because I have cousins, several cousins that, you know, they came up and they were exposed to the African American experience as a male, and you know. They battled with that homosexuality, thing that I don't want to make it sound like it's a disease. Gosh, I didn't mean it to come out that way. But what I'm saying is, they battled with those thoughts. They battled with that
urges,
that identity, and yep. You know, so coming up with that kind of weighed in on some of my traditions and beliefs on what shouldn't what a male shouldn't be exposed to at a young age. But honestly, it's not really about that. I mean, if we really look at it, there's so many more factors that go into it. And, you know, my concern is, you know, just from my moral beliefs, I want my son to be able to be in a position where he can, you know, live the life that God created him to live. So my job is to do whatever it takes to get him to that. And if restricting him in any kind of way, because honestly, a fear of him going down a homosexual path, if that prohibits him from being exposed to something that he can actually be good at, I need to you know, deal with that fear and that doubt.
Yeah, check yourself.
Because reality is that may not even be a thing for him. And now I just cut him off from, I made it a thing.
You made it a thing.
And, I didn't give him a chance to get exposed to, dancing or something like that where he could really be good and make a great career out of it. So I know it's an era I have to grow. I'm a young parent, and I honestly mean it when I say I appreciate you fellas, because I think these are opportunities for me to see another perspective and not just default to what I was raised in, because that's what happens. Yeah. As parents, we default.
It's deep-seated tradition. Yeah. Man. And like I said, being in the African-American families, anything. I mean, if your jeans are too tight.
Yeah. No, seriously. You know, let me state for the record, like, I am not a homophobe, but what I experienced growing up, I am a product of my environment. And, you know, anything that even remotely look less masculine to the African-American experience was deemed that as homosexual. So, you know, there's a lot of things that were innate in me that are being uprooted just as a believer and as a person of society, you know. So I just want to state that for the record, because I might have said some things that might have come off that way, but that's not who I identify with. You know, I understand everyone is God's own kids, and I have no problem with anybody. Honestly, I just want everybody to live their life and glorify God at the end of the day. So, just want to state that, because I don't want that to get out the wrong way. But it is something, you know. I'll be honest. I'll be transparent. It's something that as a parent, I am concerned about. You know, making sure that I, you know, for my moral upbringing, for what I want for my children, I want to make sure I can get them to that. And I don't want anything to, you know, hinder them for that. So that's where the root of my concern comes from. So now, as far as an avenue to get that accomplished and not do it in a
forceful, controlling
way, that's where I'll lean on my brothers. I'll lean on my pastor. I'll lean on, you know, just the multitude of godly counsel that I have to do that. Because I know that, you know, God's put everybody in my life that's necessary for me to do it. So,
yeah, just not to leave you out there hanging. You're not the only one who has, you know, those specific areas that are kind of ingrained in us that we're wary of, and honestly that we're fearful of, you know, that we look at. But you know how we address fear as believers, man. We overcome fear with love.
Yes,
you know, big thing, like, you know, my area would be academia. Mm. So if I look at my kid and I might, they showing symptoms that they're not where they should be or where I believe they should be academically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hypersensitivity. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Take that out.
Yeah.
Get everything. Yeah.
I'm like, you're yelling at everybody.
What you mean? She reading at a sixth grade level. She should be reading at eighth grade level. You know, like, oh, step back. So
yeah.
So, but you know, being aware of it and, you know, making sure you got some monitors and checks in places.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure. Yeah, man, definitely. It's a matter of, you know what I mean? Like I say, we're all growing. And I mean, man, harping on the same point. We're four black men. You know, if anybody doesn't know, we're four black men. And I mean, it's when I say it's real, even though all of us have gays, lesbians in our family, you know, I mean, they all get to come to the family reunion. They're all with the church, but it's still, you know, they pump it like the true meaning of fear mongering is in an African American culture when it comes to a homosexual, especially in the men's department. Now, as far as ladies, you know, what I mean, that's not really even touted that much. But when it comes to the men growing up, it's instantly, oh, what you doing, boy? Oh, yeah, why? Yeah. Why you got your hand like that?
Yeah.
It's like, my hand doesn't
make me
gay. My hand doesn't make me gay. Yeah. There's only one way to truly
don't
be
rest
gay.
In your hip like that.
And the really deep seated issue that, you know, any listeners needs to understand is that we all have the same moral belief system, which is the Bible, and not that it condones any type
we
of other
being
activity.
The four of us is.
Yeah. We live our life by the Bible, and what the Bible says is right and wrong. So if we don't want these things for our child, it's not that we don't want them to have the opportunity to make their own choices, but we want to. This is that moral fabric that is our underlying factor, how we make our decisions,
mm-hmm.
And is how we please God. And if it's clear about this situation not pleasing God, or you know, not being, not living a lifestyle that's pleasing with God. We want our kids to go away from that. Now, our culture may have started that way, but it has since evolved to even more. And I think that Al said, you know, black community is bad. The Caribbean community, I think, is even worse. Oof. You know, like.
It's like murder.
Exactly. So, but I think that what we're all learning is that people are people. God loves people. We need to continue to love people despite what their choices are, mm-hmm. because God does. And then, you know, if we have a desire to want them to do better, then that's fine. We don't need to impose our beliefs on them, though. But when it comes to our children, as for me in my house, we are going to serve and obey the Lord to be able to move forward to what we think God is called, what we believe God is calling us to do.
Yo, if I can interject, I'm just listening to this conversation, and it's just funny to look at the dichotomy. We steer our children away from areas, activities that we believe promote homosexuality, but we promote them towards activities, sports that generally are associated with a popularity and really breed multiple sexual interactions. You know, there's a certain popularity. I played football in high school for that very reason. You get the girls.
You're popular. Here. Now you're getting them.
My coach was like, you should play golf. Golfers don't get girls. Literally.
Yeah. Lame.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, and that was the promotion. And, right. you know, I never got shunned for playing football because I was going to get the ladies.
Right. Yeah, and I was actually going to bring up the point that, you know, the thing about homosexuality is the thing that's seen. You know, there's a lot of things that you also got to monitor with your kids that aren't seen.
Oh,
you
Jesus.
Know what I mean? And homosexuality, any of those things that your kid might be dealing with, you know, your kid, you know, if he ain't watching your kid, he could be in the room trying to build a bomb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He want to kill people. He's just killing insects and killing animals. You know what I mean?
It's like, whoa. Bro, that is where people who are like, they start on psychopaths on the early onset ages. You see it from the youth. Like, but you're not going to see it unless you're paying attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up killing animals. I hunted, so.
Well, I mean.
So y'all trying to say I'm.
Did you just kill animals?
Did you kill them and then cut them open and then wear their.
I did both.
You cut them open?
No, heck no. I mean, we had to clean them and eat them.
Yeah, you did it for eating purposes. You didn't do it for the purpose of killing.
No. You didn't just go out and
collect their ears and wear it as a necklace.
Shoot your neighbor's dog with a BB gun in the face and then like nothing happened. Dog slay.
My neighbor's dog was pretty evil.
We all
did as kids. We killed stupid stuff, you know, like lizards and frogs and stuff.
Yeah, but the point is, you know, it's the thing that's seen. So, you know, the same amount, and that's what I also, you know, like I said, I'm growing, but this is one of the things I always remind myself of too. I'm like, okay, you don't put supreme emphasis on that area and then ignore other areas because, you know, you don't want my son, I don't want to be a womanizer, you know, having several women.
Right.
And you don't come to my house and I'm like, oh yeah, my boy getting it. Nah, no, yeah. That's not right. That's just as wrong. So, you know, it requires the same amount of effort and monitoring to do it, you know, so to be a great parent. So, yeah.
That's good, man. Great topic. Man.
Yeah, man.
I didn't know.
Jeez, man. Expose your boy,
man.
Huh?
No, hey, man. It's like you said.
I'm not a homophobe.
What you saying, man? It's useful, man, because, I mean, it's like I say, man, it's the true meaning, man. It's the true definition of, you know, how deeply rooted are you in your tradition?
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? And sometimes conversations like this are necessary because just like when you started, you know, you had a certain view. And it was just like, nah, this ain't happening. But then, as you know, you start hearing your counterparts, and it's like, okay, I didn't even think about it like that. I didn't look at it like that. And I know there's several people that may listen to this, and then they're going through the same thing. You know, your kid is like, yeah, I don't want to play football. I want to, you know, I want to dance. I want to be, you know, I want to be a cheerleader. You know what I mean? Even in that case, you know, guys, all of the cheerleaders that I knew, man, were super masculine, super strong. I mean, these dudes are just beasts in the weight room.
Yeah.
But
they
got to
toss them women up in the air.
Yeah.
But growing up, you'd be like, your son's a cheerleader? Okay. Well, you know what, man? I gotta go tend to these ribs on the grill. So
talk to you later, man.
You're like, man, you know such and such son is a gay. I'm telling you, man. Be like, how you know he gay?
Did you even see him? Then he walks in the room. He's like,
he's
swole. We're like, whoa.
Yeah, be like, he's married with kids. He's got a girlfriend on the side. I don't know what are you talking about.
Whoa.
he'd be like, bro. He's. I'm telling you, he's gay, man. He's a cheerleader. Like, I mean, that's just reality, man. That's just how society, man.
Yeah. It's culture.
Yeah, man. It's cultural. So, man, conversations like this definitely need to be happening. Well, needs to happen. I'm sorry. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I appreciate y'all for just being honest, man. And that's what you get on the show, man. We're going to be truthful. You may like it. You may not like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, topics like this definitely need to be discussed in America. And I think especially in
the black community, man,
we got to get over a lot of these traditions and start seeing the world and start seeing people as who they really are. You know, if they give you something to hate, then that's on you. But, you know, I mean, if you just going off of the assumption because of their lifestyle or what their religion is or what their skin tone is, I mean, you got to check your own heart in that situation.
Yep.
But we're going to go ahead and say goodbye to all our everyone. Now, y'all, you remember when, who was that though? Was that Russell Simmons? He's always come out and then he'll say, and now it's time to say goodbye to all my Negro friends.
Was that?
I have no clue what that's from.
Soul Train song?
No, it was who was it?
Oh, Don Cornelius.
No, I think it was. Yeah. No, it was Martin. Martin used to do it on Def Comedy Jam.
Oh.
So he used to do that. But that's why I said nope.
Everyone.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, man. Cleet, can you give them a quick rundown, man, on how they can find us on social media, find the website. I mean, not the website. Find the sites,
the Facebook
too.
Page. So, yeah, you could catch us on, we got a Facebook page, Open for Discussion with the number 4. You could catch us on Facebook. We're also on SoundCloud. Same thing. You do a search for Open for Discussion. We're on YouTube. We also got a YouTube page. Same thing. We try to make it easy for y'all. So any of those platforms, you can simply search Open the number 4 Discussion, and you should be able to find us. Open for Discussion podcast. Make sure you go to our Facebook page. Obviously, like the page. We'll start. We want to start posting content on there. Stuff from the show. Like Wayne mentioned, the study on the two circles. That'll be good if we're able to find that. We'll try to post that for you guys on our YouTube channel description and also on the Facebook page. But yeah, man, follow, like, share, you know, let everybody know. Obviously, we want this message, these episodes out to everybody so that we could get feedback from you guys. And yeah, we keep growing this thing and you know, just showing some perspective from 4 black males who love the Lord and who love everybody. So
good stuff, man. Appreciate it.
Yep.
So from me, my boy Diddy Rowe, a.k.a. Brian.
His name's Brian.
Cleet the Geek and G-Dub.
Cleeton, Gary, and Albert.
We out, man.
All right.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now, you can get both Sprint's unlimited plan and the all-new Samsung Galaxy S10 included for just $35 per month per line for 5 lines. All you need is approved credit and an 18-month lease. No trade-in required. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1.
Phone $15 a month after $22.50 a month. Credit apply within 2 bills. If canceled earlier, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 6/30/20. Pay $32 per month per line for 5 lines without auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion speed maximums. Use rules and restrictions apply.